This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Well, here we go from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we are so grateful you've joined us. Call us with your questions, comments, 99-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello, Amanda.
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
Oh, living the dream, living the dream. How about you?
Oh, yeah, you know, the Roscoe saga continues.
Oh, yeah, give us an update on Roscoe. What's up? last we heard, everybody, is fluids were coming out of every orifice in this little kid's body.
Well, it's not quite that violent, but he's leaking out of the back end.
Leaking.
So he's been getting twice a week laser treatment on his hind end. And next step is we may have to put him under to have a small growth removed and a biopsy done. But we're going to wait and see on that. But his eye is still on the very long road of mending, apparently. We thought it was two weeks of the cone of shame, and then he should be mostly healed. Some dogs take 3 weeks. Apparently, Roscoe is one of the exceptionally special who takes more than 3 weeks. So we are on week three of cone living here in the household.
You mean they know you have money?
They might be wondering at this point. I did say, you know, because we're still on the curbside type of service here in Florida. Okay. So every time I go to a vet, which is now at this point, it's about four times a week.
Hey, just as a quick
every time I go to the vet, I have to, you know, drop them off curbside and then they take care of them. I sit in my car with it running and the AC running for an hour, burning gas. And then they call and say, we're ready to check you out. What's your credit card number?
Oh, wow.
And I say, don't you have it on file yet at this point? Where's my frequent flyer card?
As a quick reminder to all the people that have pets out there, what's your quick 60-second spiel on pet insurance?
My spiel is do not get it. I would much rather have that money in a savings account, which is what I do, rather than pet insurance, because if you read the fine print, and I know there are a lot of people who love pet insurance and it works out great for them. For me personally, I didn't find that it was worth it because of the type of breed of dog I have and the exclusions that apply. And if you don't buy it right away when they're a puppy and they have nothing wrong with them, then those exclusions start to add up as they get older. And then you're paying their whole life for something that you may or may not use.
And
I'd rather only pay a lot of money when I have to pay the money rather than pay a lot of money that maybe I never needed to pay.
You also reminded us don't buy your medications from the veterinarian because they're jacked.
I did, but sometimes, online. Like I also mentioned then, sometimes you don't have a choice if it's a semi-emergency situation.
Yeah.
So yes, one of these, so every time I go in, they switch whatever treatment we're doing. So we're doing like every 4 hours, our regimen of four eye drops and an ointment 5 minutes apart. So it's like a 15-minute experience every 4 hours. And one of these eye drops alone is like half of an eyedropper full, and it was $100.
Just when I thought about getting a dog, I think about you.
There you go.
There you go.
And like I said, it's the Roscoe Fund at this point. I should start a GoFundMe, you know, just like.
Should I buy a dog, boat, or put a pool in the backyard? They all seem about the same at this point.
Yeah, but I love him dearly.
I know. He's so cute. What we got on this podcast?
Today, we've got some social media questions. And then we're going to talk. Oh, this is exciting. Millionaires cut spending.
Ooh, I love this one.
And then our Savvy Savings today is on simple secrets to successful savings.
Whoa, say that quick about five times.
I know, right?
Susie sells seashells at the seashore.
Our Savvy Savings segment is on simple secrets to successful savings.
First social media question, and we talked about this on the side through Messenger. So this is for you. We're putting you on the clock. because I can't explain this in 60 seconds. So
yeah,
social media question. You picked Avi. Social media question number one, what is the difference between a Roth and an IRA?
Okay, so before I go into that answer, I want to clarify that I picked on you because you said we should be super simple. And I said, are you capable of that? And then you didn't respond to me the rest of the day.
That just requires me to do a lot more editing. When I listen to myself, I'm like, okay, I need to take about 5 minutes out of this answer or something.
Yes. All right. So back to the show here. Yeah.
What is the difference between a Roth and an IRA? And this was from our Facebook group.
Yes. Okay. So I think they're conflating a couple of different topics here. So I think the question really is, what's the difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA? IRA is an individual retirement account. So that's an account that you as an individual initiate with one of our favorite providers, Schwab, TD Ameritrade, and Vanguard.
Good answer.
Yes. And then so an IRA, as opposed to a 401k, a 401k is something that your employer initiates and manages for you. And that's an option. So either an IRA or a 401k, same account, but they could be either a Roth or a traditional. Mm-hmm. So the difference between Roth is that you are contributing money after you've already paid income taxes, but that money grows tax free. And then when you retire, you withdraw it without having to pay any taxes on it because you've already taxed it before you contributed it. Traditional is where you contribute the money before your income tax is applied. So you have not yet been taxed on the money you've contributed. So when you retire, your withdrawals are taxed at that then current tax rate.
Can I throw out a theory about Roth?
Oh, you're going to complicate it. No.
60 seconds, I'm not complicating this. I'm thinking about the problem we have. This is not even being political. We talked about this in episode 51 about the national debt. And I'm starting to wonder about the Roth program. I'm not talking about the people that are currently in it. I could see them stopping this in the future because so many people are getting into it. That's a lot of tax revenue that's not going to be coming in. And they're going to have to make that up somewhere.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
Because all these retirement accounts, they've usually made money off of the growth. Well, they came up with this Roth, which is a great program and encourages people to to contribute to the retirement. But you got to make up that revenue somewhere. I mean, that just, it disappears. You still got the same cost to run the country. So, or more, since you're handing out
given all the programs are
$2,400 a month thrown out to everybody on unemployment, 40 million people. That's expensive. So I'm just starting to wonder. I mean, I think people are currently in it are good, but at some point, I know it sounds wacky, but if you really think about that, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, let me take this next question, Craig.
Ooh, okay.
What is a good outfit to use for investing? I love the word outfit. Immediately, I was thinking, ooh, like what?
Ooh,
what
outfit, shopping.
Are you wearing heels with, you know?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, what is a good, I think they mean provider to use for investing. The only one I know of is TD Ameritrade. So I just covered this.
Yeah. And you did, you know, rewind the film tape or whatever. TD Ameritrade actually was bought out by, wasn't it Schwab? I think it was Schwab. Schwab bought them. So
yes, yes, they did. I was trying to think because E-Trade also had a merger, right?
Yeah, E-Trade finally got bought out too because TD Ameritrade was the golden one, but Schwab grabbed it before anyone else did. So TD Ameritrade, I don't use them. I use Schwab and E-Trade. I have two different accounts run. Well, I have multiple accounts on those. But we do prefer the three low-cost providers, Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard. So right. Of the places to do trading, Schwab and Fidelity is what a lot of people use. I like to have all of my accounts at one place. So if you want to do online, I know this is, we're getting into banking a little bit, and we do like Marcus from Goldman Sachs, stuff like that. But if you do want to get into all this stuff, I kind of like having everything in one place. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if you want to do online banking.
Sometimes you don't have that option, though, if you have more than one employer and they have a preferred.
Absolutely.
Or their program is set somewhere.
But, you know, think long term how you're going to have your accounts. I don't like that people have accounts everywhere. And I know people have like 10 accounts, like at 10 different places.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that. So trying to think long term, think of all good companies. So Schwab is also a great online bank as well, but you can do your a lot of investing where there. A lot of 401ks use them as their brokerage. Yeah. So TD Ameritrade, the very fact that they are going to be Schwab when they finish the paperwork and cross the T's and dot the I's and all that, they will be over there. So you could do that as well. So that's fine. There's so many ways to trade stocks. And they just said investing. So that could be mutual funds, ETFs, stocks. I mean, that was a very broad term you used. So so we're just going to give you our straight up answer that Amanda already said. Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard. So
yeah. And you know what? So USAA just converted. They got rid of all of their investing.
Okay.
It got rolled over to Schwab. So I am brand new to Schwab. So I'll let you know how it
Schwab
goes.
Schwab is huge. They have become such a great outfit. They have a lot of zero cost funds as well, just like Vanguard. They have their own versions of them. But, I use them for my trading within my 457 and 401k. But my regular trading account happens to be at E-Trade. I've just had it there for years. And I already have my screen set up. There's a little bit high. I mean, like a dollar or two more expensive to trade a stock. But I don't do the day trading like I did before. So I'm not going to worry about $1 or $2 every 6 months. Yeah. I just don't.
So I've got accounts with Schwab now and with Fidelity. So I'm with two of the three.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm the one that's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't want to move it over. It's just my play account for day trading. Anyway, social media question three. Here's a dumb question. This was in our Facebook group as well. And wasn't a dumb question.
Did you just say it's a dumb question?
No, they said. I just copy and pasted it in there. It said, so dumb question. I just copy and pasted the question.
So. Okay. So they are self-proclaiming it as a dumb
question. But it definitely was not a dumb question because it was one of our great myths that we've gone over when we talked about this. But the question is, does freezing your credit prevent your credit score from going up? Or down, or whatever, sideways, whatever. It does not. Freezing your credit does not affect your credit score whatsoever.
No, it has no impact except that it makes it difficult to impossible for a fraudster to open additional accounts in your identity.
Yep. So I cannot think of any. There were comments in there, and I said, look, I can't think of a situation where you should not freeze your credit. Now, you may need to thaw it when you go use financing or rent an apartment where they need to do credit checks. But to not freeze your account, your credit should not, I can't think of reason not to, unless you're just like being daring and you look like living on the edge. But everybody, you and your family, even your kids, because they get a social security number pretty early, like when they're born. Social media question four. Is automatic bill payments the best way to keep your budget on track? That's your budget question, Amanda.
I say no. That's my personal opinion. I have no factual data to back that up. But my, but my gut is that if you are on auto, you're not dialed in and looking at your budget and your income and expenses as tightly as you should be because you're just on autopilot. So I would say once you've already have a perfect financial picture and things are, you know, on cruise control, then I think it's okay to put it on auto pay. But until then, I think you really have to get into the habit of being responsible and disciplined and sitting down and looking at the money coming in and going out and paying it yourself, because otherwise you're not really psychologically connecting to that responsibility.
Okay.
That's my opinion. What do you say, Craig?
I have a lot of my bills automatically. Well, not
yeah, but my you're already in cruise control phase.
let me correct this. My utility bills and stuff like that, which are pretty much the same all the time, are automatic to my credit card. Because
you're a super hypocrite. So
it's like my electric bill, my cell phone's the same price every month. But then I do pay my credit cards myself, but I review my statements there. So I am seeing all the stuff come in and I'm I see it all coming in, then I review it there. So
yeah.
I am reviewing it a roundabout way, but I'm afraid because I've I've missed my water bill before. I know that sounds weird, but my local county government is so old fashioned. You have to physically pay your water bill. It drives me nuts. I can't do automatic payment with them. They've actually shut my water off once.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. That would never happen to me because I have a budget line item for like, for example, water. And if I don't have the bill, when I know it's time to pay the bill, I go searching for it.
Can I just hire you to handle my finances, please?
So this is what I'm saying. Like when things are on auto pay or autopilot, it's easier to like not connect with where your money is going. And then you're not also looking in and saying, well, how can I change that amount? You know, it's just on auto pay and you just, it's like you set it and forget it. And it's, to me, it's the same as using a credit card and using plastic, that it's not real then. So I would say no. The only time I would say you should do auto pay is if you are the type of person who habitually misses payments and you have so many late payments. But I think it's much better for you to dial in, get serious, set that budget. You have all the line items so that if something isn't there on your line item, it's easy. You're like, well, where is this? Like when we get paid, I know I expect to pay the water bill out of this check. Where's the bill? And if I don't have it, I'm like, okay, let me check again tomorrow. And I put a tickler out and I go searching for it.
If we ever gave prizes out for like trivia about our podcast, that would be a good one. What has, Craig is a millionaire. What has he had turned off at his house? I mean, I have no debt whatsoever. My water's being turned off. That's insane because of my ancient county. It's this one bill drives me nuts. I hate it. I hate this water bill. But anyway, it comes in the mail, like in my mailbox.
Yep.
Not even an email.
But that's just the danger of if you are used to having everything on auto pay, then it's really easy for something like this. Because not everything
you're
is. Wind. Just
you're
like
right.
You said.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Again, Amanda's right.
So I'm against it.
No, you're absolutely right. Because all of this stuff is so automated in 2020 and everything, except this stupid water bill. And I hate it.
Yeah.
Because I don't get mail. I don't.
Yes.
You know?
So I am of the mind that if you have the automatic bill payments, you don't really have a budget.
Okay. There you go. I have nothing.
All right. Well, with that.
But today I have water in my house. That happened like 2 years ago. It pissed me off. I'm like, why is there a white truck out in front of my yard? What are they doing? He was shutting off my water. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Speaking of millionaires, Craig,
yes.
How do millionaires cut spending, postpone big purchases for at least a year?
Okay, this caught my eye for because we're going through the coronavirus and there are people going through rough times. But at the same time, people don't have money. I see a lot. I'm stereotyping. I see a lot of brand new vehicles out there right now. I am generalizing, but let me keep going with it. It'll be worth it at the end. So I came across this article the other day and I threw it in the show notes because it does point out, like, what's that book we talked about two episodes ago that's on our website that you can order? Millionaire Next Door. Typically a millionaire.
Millionaire Next Door or Everyday Millionaire.
Yeah, either of those two books. If you go to our website, click on books. It's right on the menu. We have our personal selections of great books that you guys can read that aren't skewed. I think it's great information there. We didn't pick ones that have crazy plans and stuff. Well, I mean, the baby steps are not crazy. I mean, millions of people have done it, but you know, we have Ramsey's books on theirs, but Millionaire Next Door is a great book because it talks about the person with the Honda is probably the millionaire, not the one with the Mercedes. I picked on the BMW last episode. I do apologize for that, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a BMW anymore.
Anymore? What was her name?
Which one? Angelica? Bianca?
It's pretty bad when she says, which one? So this article is called Millionaires Cut Spending, Postpone Big Purchases at Least a Year. So I'm going to go over some stats in here, which I find very amazing because I relate to it myself. I'm afraid to spend money.
Yeah, okay. I'm not spending that. Well, I'm spending money on Roscoe.
But well, yeah, that, but it's his life. I mean, that's what emergency funds are for.
You know what's funny, though, is I set aside in my budget every month discretionary money. And because we're not spending money on everything else, it's all been covered by what's already budgeted for discretionary.
There you go. Like my heat pump, my $14,000 heat pump. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, a majority American millionaires say they plan to spend less this summer than in years past, according mm-hmm. to a CNBC millionaire survey.
Well, they can't travel.
Well, they can't travel. That kind of helps a little bit. You're right.
That alone is saving us all money.
A majority said their assets will be the same or higher at the end of the year. Nearly mm-hmm. three quarters say their incomes will be the same or higher. So they have no reason not to spend the money, Amanda. Right, do you hear that? Their assets are going to be higher and their income's fine, but they're not spending money. I want people to hear this because there's a point to this. Real estate, new cars, vacations are expenses most likely to be put on hold. They're not even buying new cars, Amanda. Yeah. Many won't even complete purchases for at least a year till next summer. More than 1 in 4 millionaires plan to postpone a real estate purchase due to the coronavirus. There you go. There you go. 15% plan to postpone the purchase of a car. 10% plan to postpone a vacation.
Wait a minute. What's the other 90% doing?
I don't know.
They're still going on vacation.
They're doing something. When asked when they plan to complete those purchases, a large number, 37%, said 2021 or even later than that. And here's the reason why. And I'm in this boat, Amanda. I've been thinking this. What this said was why I'm acting the way I am. People think I'm nuts. Half believe the recession will last longer than the Great Recession of 2008-2009. And when considering a major purchase like real estate or a car, some may be waiting for prices to fall even more. I think you and I are both in that real estate category.
I am, yeah.
The chances of that happening like 2008 are apparently lower, but there's still that chance. And we've talked about that before, especially vacation homes.
You're saying there's a chance.
They may be opportunistic and saying, why buy now if prices for these big purchases could fall even more? Now, I like this because the reason why they have money is they know how to use it. Mm-hmm. And they're being strategic in what they're doing. I'm starting to look at vacation homes. I'm starting to create a list. I've always wanted a lake home, lake house home. So I'm starting to build a list and see, I may be using you. Say, hey, Amanda, I need a real estate agent. Okay. So I'm like looking in the Carolinas. There's a lot of lakes, but I need to start studying those areas and start waiting for these to happen. What I'm hearing, and I don't know if you've heard this. I heard this from Clark Howard and some other people that are into real estate. They're wanting us to start looking at the people that bought properties exclusively to do Airbnb income. Yep. And that would be one of the first things that people will cut when they can't afford them anymore because they don't have the Airbnb income coming anymore. If they can't afford both mortgages or multiple mortgages, they're going to start cutting these things. That's what I'm targeting. And that's my mindset. Am I wrong in that thinking?
No, I've been watching the same things.
So I'm starting to check out. I have a lot of retired firefighter buddies and stuff that moved to the Carolinas. So I'm starting to look at all these lakes and stuff like that. And
I actually got out of my house this weekend, Craig.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Talk to me. I went to the beach. Ooh. You know, I almost never go. I think this is the second time.
You never leave the house. Beach. That's why you're pale.
I was only out in the sun for like half an hour.
Okay. All right.
And you know, it's just a little enticing. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I should get a condo on the beach and rent it out until I'm ready to have it as a vacation property. So, but then that's exactly it is so many of them are run as Airbnbs right now. We'll see what happens once this moratorium on foreclosures is lifted. I think there's going to be some changes. The tides are about to change here.
Yeah. So I'm starting to hear more and more people that are into this, that have lots of real estate. That's what they're starting to think. So I'm starting to do my research just in case an opportunity shows up at a place I would want to be at.
Yeah.
So, and it would be for me. I'm not going to probably rent it out. You know, that's usually when most of the money is made, right? On real estate. It's at the purchase, correct?
It's when you buy, yeah.
Right. So anyway, There you go. So that's why I want people to think, if millionaires are not spending and they know how to use money, I just want other people to think about that.
Do you mean they're not snatching up these used cars that are coming off of the Hertz bankruptcies?
Apparently not. They're waiting for a better deal. See, they know how to use money. And the best way to learn what to do yourself, if you're trying to be like them, is listen to what they do, is the point. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, don't take advice from broke people.
There you go. All right. Speaking of broke. That made no sense. Savvy Savers with Amanda coming up next. What you got for us?
Simple secrets to successful savings.
That's right.
Successful
savings. That's easier than saying Susie sells seashells at the seashore. Yep. Wow, I knocked that out. It's a good day. All right, we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money, episode 52.
Whoa.
With Craig and Amanda. I know. Look at us. We're still here. Well, if I'm going to be off for the next 2 years on whatever they call it, I guess you may not be here, but I might as well just talk to the microphone for 2 years.
Yeah, I may run out of savvy savings.
Oh, no. I'll find you something to talk about.
Oh, we'll repeat. It'll be fine.
All right. So let's hit it up. What if we got?
All right, today we're going to talk about simple secrets to successful savings. So we're talking about savings accounts. Why don't you have any savings? What can you do to be a better saver? How much is enough? If you're asking yourself these questions, you are not alone. Many Americans are struggling to save. In fact, the Federal Reserve found that 4 out of 10 Americans wouldn't be able to cover a $400 emergency expense without going further into debt.
I bet that's even worse now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Now, what was the new numbers? 40 million are now unemployed?
Unemployed, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the bracket of people is usually from the service industry, the people that cannot defend for themselves. So it's even worse. It is sad. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. It's just.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, $400 is, you know, a typical emergency expense. And that's why we start out saying before you pay down debt and before you do investing, you need to get that mini emergency fund of $1,000 in place. Mm-hmm. Saving money is difficult because we don't make it a priority. Trying to save after you've paid all the bills, like after you've paid all your auto pays, Craig, and all your other monthly expenses, is not making savings a priority. It's an afterthought. So this might be the one thing I would say put on auto pay is your savings. Mm-hmm. Because if you put it on auto so that automatically money gets put into your savings account right from your direct deposit check, then you don't even know that you had that money to begin with. Like, you just budget everything else as if that savings money never even existed.
Yeah.
So that might be the one thing I would make an exception about. Mm-hmm. So a recent Consumer Reports article, Craig.
Oh, I love Consumer Reports.
We know.
You know, me and my trust issues, at least I can trust Consumer Reports.
Yes, they reinforce the common financial expert opinion recommending saving anywhere from 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses to help weather financial storms. And I don't think there's been any time in recent history, at least, that hasn't proven more how important that 3 to 6 month emergency fund is. Wouldn't you say, Craig?
Oh, I think a lot of people learned a big lesson out of coronavirus. I think of anything other than you have to wear a stupid mask is the 3 to 6 months and how important that really is.
Yeah.
40 million people are learning it right now. So.
Yeah. And this 3 to 6 month worth of living expenses and weathering these financial storms. So a financial storm could include big ticket item expenses like unexpected vehicle repairs, water heater, AC unit replacement. What did you have,
Craig? I had a whole heat pump, $14,000. I mean, I could have gotten an $11,000 model too, but
that might be more than 3 to 6 months for some people.
No, that's a big hit. That was a big hit.
And 3 to 6 months is a big goal, and it may take a long time to get there. So, you know, take a step back, start small with the mini emergency fund of $1,000. So, what can you do to be a better saver? First, you need to figure out how much of your monthly spending you actually have control over. Mm-hmm. In other words, what portion of your expenses are bills that are more or less non-negotiable? So, your mortgage or rent, you can't change that each month. It is what it is. Yeah. The only way you can change it is by moving. And there's costs associated with moving as well. But, I mean, that is a serious option. If your rent is much higher than, what do we call house poor people, Craig?
Yeah.
More than 25% of your take home.
Yep.
You should seriously consider moving. If you have car payments, those are generally not negotiable. Your monthly payment is what your monthly payment is. Your insurance payments, utilities. Utilities, you have a little bit more flexibility with it, but obviously you have to pay what you use. So go back, look at some of our Savvy Savings segments on how to reduce your energy and utility bills. But other than that, you know, they're relatively standard. I know for a fact my water bill each month is going to be as low as $60, as high as $80. It's going to be right in that sweet spot. So that's I always budget the high of $80. And if it's less than that, I'm like, cool, I got an extra $20 in my budget. But you get the idea. Yep. Then take a look at the type of expenses you do have more control over, such as eating at restaurants, the type and amount of groceries you buy. And that's the one people kind of get tripped up on is grocery expenses. But again, it's the type and amount. And we're going to talk about this in a little more detail in a second. But and also fuel, clothing, hair and beauty, any other personal spending you can think of. And I think we've got a Savvy Savings segment on just about every single one of those topics, don't we, Craig?
I think you've pretty much covered everything.
Yeah. Like I said, I might run out.
Yeah.
This is where you want to become more efficient spenders. So here are a handful of tips you can use to creatively cut costs in some of these areas to help boost your savings. So again, we have some very detailed segments on some of these topics, but here's just a quick little recap on some of them. So in the area of groceries, store brand savings. Did you know shopping for generic brand foods items can save you anywhere from 25 to 50% or more?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about in the past, right out of high school, before I went to college, I worked in a cheese factory. We packaged string cheese all day long on an assembly line. And we'd finish an order for one brand of cheese, and then we'd switch the film on the machine and pack the exact same cheese into the next brand. And I knew someone who worked in a canning factory with green beans, and the same thing happened there. They put the same exact green beans from the same fields and the same trucks into these cans and then wrap a different label for each brand on it. So, you know, just keep that in mind when you're feeling like you have to have a certain brand. Take a look at the packaging and see where it's packaged. You might be surprised.
Especially if you go to Aldi. Yeah. We talked about that. The packaging looks identical. They just changed the name. Like the Velveeta cheese, shells and cheese, whatever. It's the same yellow and blue and all that. They just have it some other crazy name on it. But if you looked from a distance, it looks the same package.
Right. Yep. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aldi's a great example of Aldi. Shopping generic. Yep. Plan meals based on what's in your pantry. So go shopping in your pantry. Think of yourself as the star of your own Food Network channel. Can you be creative? Oh, like Chopped, you know, where they get this like basket of random ingredients and have to come up with something. I mean, come on, if they can do things with like pineapple and anchovies and make something great, I'm sure your pantry has a lot better options than that. So go ahead, do that before you make another trip to the store. Restaurants. Oh, this is a pain point, right? First of all, you shouldn't be in a restaurant unless you work there, right?
Right. If you're on baby step two.
If you're on baby step two, paying down that debt, you should only be in a restaurant if you work there.
That's right.
But if you are have that in your budget, you can break up your ordered meals. We've all been there. It's just, you know, you get something, you order it, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is delicious. I just can't stop eating it. And then how do you feel when you're finished? Yeah, kind of gross, right?
Yes.
You're like, oh, roll me out of here.
Yeah, it's always too much.
Yeah, especially like I love Cheesecake Factory, but I guarantee like their portions are probably enough to feed a family of four off of one plate. Food portions in America in general have tripled over the last 20 years, and yet the nutrition needed to properly energize our bodies hasn't. So what I do is when I get an order, I immediately ask for a to-go box and I put half of it in the to-go box, no matter where I am. So try eating half the dish to your next order and then take the other half to go. And it's much easier to split that up at the beginning and box it up. Then you don't feel like, you know, oh, just one more bite. Oh, just one more bite, right? And then the other tip for in terms of restaurants is look at lunch instead of dinner. Do you know the same lunch entree served for dinner or similarly is typically 50% more expensive? Try using this to your advantage when making meal plans with friends and family. Say, let's grab lunch instead of dinner. Yeah.
Like
and then you also, if you don't particularly want to spend a lot of time with that person, you know you're time constrained, right?
Yes.
Like, sorry, I have to get back to work. And no awkward long goodbyes. All right. So the next category of something that you have a bit more control over is fuel. Here's the one. You can commute creatively. Well, right now, everyone's commuting creatively from their bedroom to their home office, right?
For a long time, apparently.
But, you know, have you considered carpooling? I did it once for a while when I was living about 20 minutes from my office. We did a carpool. And sure, it's a bit inconvenient sometimes when you have to have your schedule tied to someone else. And maybe, you know, it's not as convenient to run errands or whatever, but it can be a huge savings on your gasoline costs. Splitting costs can really help lighten that financial load. So, you know, also another creative option is, you know, how about road biking to work every once in a while? My husband has a great road bike and he was doing that for a while. And then it kind of went by the wayside when he discovered he likes to take naps in his truck at lunchtime, but, or not naps, I guess. Sometimes naps, but other times just reading a book. But yes, naps. There you go. But even doing that just once per month can save up to 5% in fuel. So, you know, consider ditching your stationary bike and actually get one that works on the road.
We have a lot of commuter programs, I guess, in the metropolitan areas where they have really heavy traffic.
Yeah.
The D.C. area ties with Los Angeles is the worst in the country. Yeah. Have you ever heard of slug lines?
No.
So in D.C., they have slug lines where there are known places in like DC where people just line up along the street and they wait for a car to come pick them up.
Huh.
And so usually it's one person that wants to get in the HOV lanes.
Oh, yeah.
So they stop at a slug line and they'll grab like three people. Now they can drive the HOV lane. They get home a lot faster than sitting in the regular traffic, which could take 2 to 3 hours.
And what do these other people do?
They're federal government employees and, you know, and they don't even know each other, but they all get in these slug lines. They just read their newspapers or play with their phones or whatever, or work on laptop and they get home faster. And usually they're going to commuter lots. We have a lot of commuter lots along the highway. So usually they take them down there, dump them off somewhere. And there's a slug line at the other end. So in the morning they do it going in. So, but we have trains and all that, but we have so many different ways of commuting in the DC area. It's crazy. I'm sure LA and the high volume areas are very similar.
So speaking of LA, there was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Or no, I don't know if you're familiar. Larry David is the star of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's on HBO. But he was also the creator and writer, main writer on the show Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. He's very funny. And he had this one episode on Curb Your Enthusiasm where he was stuck in traffic and he ended up picking up a prostitute so that he could use the HOV lane.
Do you have like a conversation with her?
And then he brought her to a baseball game, and she sat with him at the baseball game just so he could use the HOV lane.
Did people recognize her at the game or anything? Or?
I don't know. I forget, but I thought that was hilarious. So yes, very creative options to commute.
How come that never happens to me?
I don't know.
I guess I need to pick people up. I don't want people in my car.
Yeah, I guess that's like the off-brand Uber, huh?
Yes.
All right. So the other thing for fuel is slow down and stay aerodynamic. So did you know dropping from 70 miles per hour to 60 miles per hour can save you up to 10% in fuel?
You ruin everything.
Yes. Wind resistance also plays a factor in fuel efficiency. Removing rooftop racks or cargo boxes and keep your windows closed while driving can save as much as 20%. I'm guilty. I have a rooftop rack, but I thought about taking it off because I bought my car used and it had the roof rack on it. But it's really a lot easier to spot my car in a parking lot with the rack on it.
Jeez.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
All right. The last category I'm just going to breeze through here is personal. So it's not you, it's me. Did you know 84% of people underestimate what they spend on monthly product and service subscriptions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about this leakage before. So break up those financial sinkholes. Are you consistently using all of your products and services that you subscribe to?
You know, this just popped in my head this afternoon. There are a lot of subscriptions that people do online that actually go to your PayPal account.
Yeah.
And so PayPal has this automatic payment system that doesn't show up on your credit card or something like that. It's from your PayPal. So if you carry a balance over there, or you end up, returning something or doing something on eBay, you got this PayPal money sitting over there. You may not realize these little $1, $2, $3 charges are showing up. A lot of these websites will rip you off that way, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't go over there and watch what's going on that, it's not a paper account coming to your mailbox or whatever. So just keep an eye on that stuff. It's a anyway.
And that's the other area that's really dangerous in a budget to overlook is personal use of things as well. Like, you know, beauty items, makeup, hairstyling, nails, all those things that you don't think of. Like when you go to the grocery store, are you putting it in your grocery budget that you're also picking up body wash? You know, maybe you are and that's fine. But, you know, are you budgeting for personal care products in each month? Because those are things that can really creep up and surprise you as well. So anyway, you know, that's what I have today on quick tips. I guess we had an alliteration here. Simple secrets to successful savings.
We learned about that and what a slug line is. So everybody's now formally educated on our slug line. Isn't that weird? Would you do that? Would you just get in some random car with other people? And apparently nobody talks to each other in these cars. You're just there. I've driven next to them and everybody's just doing their own thing.
Maybe when I was younger and less wise to the dangers of the world.
Well, they all are wearing suits and they're dressed nice. Yeah. I mean, they're all usually the federal workers.
Hey, I've watched Criminal Minds. Psychos can wear suits too.
All the federal government employees are ready to kill you. Yeah, but it's so normal around here. It's just like nobody worries about that stuff.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
One more comment on prostitutes before we go.
Yes. Let's. I'm going to put that in the title somewhere, by the way. That'll get us a lot of hits. We're going to talk about prostitution on our podcast.
This is just a funny thing from my nephew. So just to lighten the mood a little bit. So obviously there's a lot of protests going on here this month and it's all very serious. My sister was driving past a business that looked like it had been looted. And my nephew said, "Oh, I really hate all those prostitutors," instead of protesters.
Oh, so
I thought that was funny.
How old is he?
I think he's 7 or 8. Yeah.
Prostitutors. Wow.
So obviously a very tragic situation.
Yeah. But
the prostitutor's comment made me laugh.
Now that I'm all depressed now. Thank you.
Sorry.
But that was funny.
You could pick up a prostitute in the slug line and
there you go.
Use the HOV.
Yeah, I don't think there's any prostitutes in the slug line. All right. On that note, wow. Yeah. What an ending. Thank you.
Follow us on Facebook for more info.
Slugs and prostitutes. Okay. Enough. We're out of here. Thank you, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at RocklandUSA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.